laboratory. There ain't nobody out there gonna mess with me, 'cause I'm big and hard and battle scarred and getting long in the tooth, desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. I've been chased, I've been bit. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. They like to shoot at me, but they miss. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. And I ain't never been trapped. Things that got me cornered at last. I've been hunting, I've been tracking, I've been running since I was three. Born in Louisiana swamp, moved with the pack. Black and white dogs to some country, some rock and roll. They said, now boy, you's gonna have to quit your howling soul. Staying up all night and chasing lassies by the moon. Laying up all day on the porch playing guitar tunes.
Better believe it, I'm still out there on the prowl. And the way it sounded on the news last night, they're looking for lone wolves everywhere. They're all over the place. Gee, I thought we started that lone wolf thing back a few years ago. But now it's lone wolf everywhere. Middle East lone wolves, American lone wolves, Al-Qaeda lone wolves. No, lone wolves are everywhere, man. White Aryan Resistance radio calling. White Aryan Resistance radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the bunker on September the 25th, 2014, on Thursday. That's right, Thursday. Outside of Wotan's Day, I think Thursday sounds even better to me. So anyhow, here we are. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your goodies. You send your snail mail, send your donations, and we'll put it to good work. And then go up to resist.com, our big website, and become an educated person, one of the educated Aryan class. That's right. Well, let's see what we're going to do today. I had some funny stuff I was going to put on here, but it got screwed up and lost it, so that's the way that goes. But well, I broke down and sold my old truck yesterday. I like that truck, but it's not as easy on my back, my lower back. But it's a good truck, and I got a good owner. It needs it bad for his work. And also, we're not plutocrats around here. We don't need three cars. We had the truck, a van, and another little car that my lady drives. So I said, we're going to cut down on expenses as much as we can. So we dumped a little truck, and I'll be riding in the old Dodge van. It's a hell of a lot easier on my old decrepit back, I'll tell you that. And my dogs like it. Yeah, they like that big old van where they can lay out there like they're somebody. Well, we got some people down there in Florida, like they need to worry about the rising water level more than they do anti-Semitism, or anti-Jewism to be more precise, at Burnett Honors College, University of Central Florida. And the 2015 Humanity in Action Fellowship is now accepting applications for its programs in Amsterdam, Berlin, Copenhagen, Paris, and Warsaw. We want to stick our nose into everybody's business, don't we? You got enough problems right there in Florida to keep you busy for another 100 years. If you, your students, or your colleagues have questions about the fellowship, please do not hesitate to contact me. The deadline to apply is January the 8th, 2015. About Humanity in Action Fellowship. For the past 16 years, Humanity in Action Fellowship has brought together international groups of students and young professionals to study race mix and minority rights in Europe, beginning with the Second World War and the Holocaust. The fellowship explores the histories and contemporary issues of diversity and minority rights in Europe. Key areas of inquiry includes national identity, immigration, xenophobia, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, racism, political extremism, and discrimination of gypsies, all seen through the specific lenses of 5 countries in which the fellowship takes place. The 2015 programs will begin going to begin in Washington, D.C. at the Council of Foreign Relations. Oh, you've heard of those people, haven't you? And continue for 4 weeks in Amsterdam, Berlin, Copenhagen, Paris, and Warsaw. Well, even though it's not Europe, they're sure not mentioning Israel, are they? The bandit state. Fellows are placed in one of these 5 cities and attend discussions with renowned scholars and activists, visit historical sites, and engage in discussions on a range of political and social issues. Participation requires intellectual curiosity and stamina, as well as the ability to work effectively in an international team. Students from the American universities will work and learn alongside the fellows from Bosnia, Herzegovina, Denmark, France, Germany, Greece, the Netherlands, Poland, Turkey, and Ukraine. What about Russia? Oh, no. After the program, fellows join the global network of over 1,400 Humanity in Action Senior Fellows. As senior fellows, they are eligible for advanced professional opportunities such as fellowships in the U.S. Congress and the European Parliament. So you see, this is just grooming young people to be, I don't know, they show a bunch of them here in a picture on the website, Negroes, race-mixed people of all kinds, plus a few white people there, and they're just smiling so happy, man, they're gonna break down the walls of all this racism and stuff. And when they get done, everybody gonna get along. Sleep together, drink together, everything. It'll be wonderful. It'll be like heaven. They keep talking about anti-Semitism all the time. In reality, the Jews are probably one of the most anti-Semitic bunches around, because they hate the Arabs and do a lot of things to kill Arabs and so forth like that. Arab Semites. So doesn't that make the Jews anti-Semitic? Strange. Well, here's a little on the health front. 2014 has not been the best year for anyone seeking good news on our progress towards a cure for HIV. At this time last year, we felt increasingly confident that as many as 20 people may have been cleared of the virus. But since then, the Boston patients relapsed as did the Mississippi child, relapsed. We still have our Berlin patient, but to many, the hope of an imminent cure feels somewhat weaker today than it did 12 months ago. At the ICAAC 2014, a major gathering of infectious disease experts, we heard speeches and spoke with leading HIV researchers about their involving feelings regarding our fraught pathway towards a cure and the efforts currently underway to get us there. Well, I don't think you're going to find a cure, and I think it's going to get worse. What, you want to bet? I just got a report in here from one of our radio show associates about this filthy nigger that obviously has killed this white girl down there, I believe, in North Carolina. And here's what she said, because she lives evidently out in that area. Please put out a comment regarding the filthy animal Jesse Matthews. Well, I wouldn't want to insult animals, because he's much worse. Animals are okay. Niggers aren't. Or at least those kind of niggers surely aren't. That they just caught in Texas for evading the cops in Virginia. I live in the shithole of Roanoke, and they wouldn't even put it in their paper. They picked it up from the Charlottesville paper where the incident occurred. I just talked to one of the reporters that put it in the paper there and told him the big splash regarding it, the pictures and the video, and the police chief was up at 7 a.m. and was taken down, entirely down, by 11 when I tried to show it to someone. Cindy Stivers is the editor and chief at AOL, and I told her what I think about the trash decision to take it off due to blogs about the evil racism of Barack and Eric Holder, Jesse Jackson, and Al Sharpton. Urge your listenership and readership to complain to this Jew-loving skank, and I'm mailing you the story and pictures from the Roanoke Times in case you can't get the info. Indiana in a timely manner. Let's see here. She says, fuck the Jews and all the white trash traitor scum Christians. Otherwise, have a good day in the United States of kike, hammer, and sickle. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we did see it out here. And finally, they put his picture out. Now, here's the question I have. We have two things here, probably. He's a filthy, slovenly, fat-ass, ugly psychopath, okay? I don't know, maybe niggers aren't smart enough to be psychopaths, you know, like a white serial killer. There's a lot of difference between them. But anyhow, and then the rest of the story came out, and it's gotten a fair amount of play on the web. I'm going to see whether they put it in our local paper here and complain like hell if they don't, because they put everything else in there. What was I going to say? Oh, the question to me is, the number one question in my heart, in my head, well, this is fresh off the press, man. I don't know if false flag or not. They're considering the right Reverend Al Sharpton to replace Eric Holder as the Attorney General of the United States of Imperialism. Oh, I hope they do. This is wonderful news. Wonderful news. And also, they're all running around saying Islamic State is not Islamic. The Islamic State is not Islamic. Well, are they Foursquare or Jehovah's Witnesses or maybe even Jews? Al Sharpton as Attorney General. If that happens or even considers that guy, it shows you how far down the gutter the imperial state has gone. and it's eating its own tail, and that's beautiful, beautiful news. Couldn't have any better news today if I had to have. Now, you listen to the neocons and all the right-wing, even racial spokesmen, and they're going to be crying their eyes. Oh, this is horrible, horrible. Oh, we got to turn this around. We got to do something. Sign up and send me $20. I'm saying pour it on, baby. Go to it, Al. I guess it's a good thing I didn't strangle him while I had the chance on the stage in the Apollo Theater. I surely was tempted. What a guy, man. Attorney General of the United States. We're going to have lots of fun if that happens. Even the progressives are going to have a hell of a time swallowing that one. Boys and girls, I'm going to do something I've been going to do ever since I got back here to Indiana, and I keep missing it every year. Well, this weekend is the James Dean commemoration time. The James Dean Festival in Fairmont, Indiana, and old Tommy and his main squeeze are going to be right there, baby. James Dean, yeah, what a guy. Oh, and I forgot to mention the first day of Rosh Hashanah. There's one of the talk show guys sometimes I listen to. He's a big Jew. And he said, I'm going to be off for a couple of days because I'm going to go celebrate Rosh Hashanah. So that's the way it goes. We got to take care of these Jewish holidays. There's a million of them. Gee, guess what? We're going to be taking care of the waste management for all the sheets and soiled equipment coming in here from Africa. They're going to be taking care of it, I think, right here in the middle of the country. Oh, yeah, that's your Center for Disease Control. What a bunch of guys they are. Going to take all that Ebola-soaked bloody sheets and bring them over here and get rid of them. No place else in the world to get rid of them. Got to bring them here. They really want a plague on this country. There's some really sick puppies out there. Oh yes, and a bunch of the churches are all getting together. A growing network of congregations across the United States is volunteering to offer shelter to immigrants, wetbacks, illegal aliens facing deportation, and a move organizers hope will help spotlight federal inaction on immigration reform. Well, you know what immigration reform is going to be. It's going to be, oh, let them all be citizens. If they're all here, just like they did under Simpson Mazzoli. Well, they're already here, so we'll make them legal. And then they'll start on another big few million batch coming in. And then they'll do the same thing all over again. Until it's the end, my friend. The bitter end. Well, of course, what should be done is to cut off all the tax-free operations of these churches. Any church that's involved in that loses its tax-free position. But they won't do that. They're afraid of these little punks, these little fundamentalist punks, little Zionist punks. They're afraid of them. You know? So nothing's going to change until it crashes. Because they're waiting on a baby Jesus to take care of the whole thing, and he's going to do it, man. But first, there's going to be a war so big, the blood will run up to the bridle fittings on the horses. Yeah, that's your peace-loving, peaceful Jesus. That's what he's going to bring. And then they're going to offer eternal life to the Jews if they become Christians. If not, off of their heads. Well, 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 actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt, well, I don't remember him from Adam, has agreed to take the lead role in The Snowden Files, a film about the National Security Agency whistleblower directed by progressive filmmaker Oliver Stone, according to Variety. Although there's no premiere date yet for the film, Truthdig editor-in-chief Robert Scheer has a book on the topic of surveillance titled, quote, They Know Everything About You, How Data Collecting Corporations and Snooping Government Agencies Are Destroying Democracy. There never was democracy, idiot. This has never been a democracy. At most, it was a republic, but actually, it was an oligarchy. All governments are oligarchies, run by the few. That's an oligarchy. In Scheer's book, inspired by Snowden's leaks on the NSA's Standard Collection, the award-winning journalist argues that the technology of surveillance represents an existential threat to the liberation of the human spirit, unquote. Well, no shit, Sherlock. No shit. Well, you can start spying on them, too. Why don't you start spying on congressmen and senators and state senators and anybody that's got any power in the system that's around you? Start spying on them. Build dossiers on them. Yeah, do that. To learn more about Scheer's new book, read a short description here and find out more about Stone's biopic below. Negotiations on the deal have not yet begun, but both men are keen on making it happen. Production on the Snowden files, titled after the book by Guardian journalist Luke Harding, is due to begin late this year or the early part of 2015. The film, which Stone is writing and directing, now looks likely to be based on two books: Harding's account, full title of The Snowden Files, The Inside Story of the World's Most Wanted Man, and Time of the Octopus by Stone's lawyer, Anatoly Kucherina. Stone recently picked up the screen rights to the latter tome after optioning Harding's book in June. Stone's film could compete with the rival project titled No Place to Hide, after the book by Glenn Greenwald, the freelance journalist to whom Snowden leaked thousands of classified documents in June of 2013. The film is being brought to cinemas by James Bond producers Michael Wilson and Barbara Broccoli, though the Stone version looks likely to arrive on the big screen first. Well, that's going to be great. I like movies like that, if they're fairly close to the facts. But you know as well as I do, you can't make a Hollywood movie and stick close just to the facts, or it'd be so damn boring that it would never, nobody'd buy a ticket. You know, this Rosh Hashanah is celebrating the Jewish New Year, 5775, the year 5775, in an attempt to bullshit the whole world, as they always do, that the Jews have been around since 5775. Identifiable. Yeah. Ha 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 ha. For people who say Muslims have not condemned other Muslims hell-bent on extremism and violence, wait. Whoa. A coalition of Islamic scholars issued a detailed rebuke to the Islamic State yesterday, saying savages who would behead children are not very good Muslims. You mean that Saudi Arabia is not good Muslims? They cut the heads off about 20 people a week. And while Islamic State is only, what, three? Following on that, the Islamic State is neither Islamic nor a state. Well, of course they're Islamic. And they're more Islamic than they are a state. But if they say they're a state, then okay, they're a state. It's good to be back with y'all. And what's that? I don't know who in the hell that is. Okay, forget that one. Well, let's see what Eric Holder has to say here. Oh, what a joke.
Now, the U.S., along with a coalition of other countries, including several Arab nations, began airstrikes against ISIS in Syria. You've called ISIS the most frightening thing you've seen since 9/11. What is your biggest concern?
The concern is that they have the capacity to take over a pretty substantial geographic area. We know from what happened before, what Al-Qaeda did in Afghanistan, that ultimately they can consolidate their power and then export that power from the region in which they're situated to Western Europe and then ultimately to the United States. And that's why we have to be focused on them, and focused on them now.
In fact, it's believed more than 100 Americans have gone to join ISIS. And this week, the administration revealed some may have already returned to the United States. Why can't we keep better track of these people and shore up the system somehow?
Well, you shouldn't assume that because we say some have come back that we are not, in fact, keeping track of them. The FBI, along with our state and local, that area, who has come back from that area, and we use...
You can't keep track of them because you don't even know what's going on your own borders, you stupid nigger.
Extensive resources and all legal methods that we can to make sure that we maintain surveillance of these people.
Is there going to be a more...
You're so full of shit, it's running out your black ears.
...concerted international effort.
Well, I hope so. My hope would be that we will share information at a much greater rate than we do, that other nations will enhance their capabilities to make sure that they have a good handle on where people are, given the way in which you can travel in Europe without passports, and then the ability to go from Europe to...
Open wide, Americans, especially white Americans, open wide. I've got a spoonful of bullshit to feed you. That's all they do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to do it. The only thing they can do and the only way they can keep power is to scare everybody. Oh, they're coming. Oh, the Islamic State, they're going to get into Europe, Western Europe, and then they're going to be in the United States and you, before you even know it, man. Well, then how come we gave them all the weapons they're using? How come they got all their tanks from the stuff that we left lay around? I'd like to know something about that, Eric.
The United States. No one nation can handle this problem. We all have to work together to do it.
Is Interpol going to be more involved in this?
Yeah, we'll be making some announcements, I think probably as early as tomorrow, about the way in which Interpol will help us in that monitoring effort, coming up with new mechanisms.
Wait a minute. The liberals say that Interpol was started by the Nazis from Germany. You know those Nazis? That's how it got started, Interpol. Ex-high-ranking Nazis. I thought you didn't like Nazis, Eric.
Systems that they're going to be introducing that I think are ultimately going to be very effective.
Can you give us any idea what Interpol might be doing to assist us?
Well, it'll be focused on people who have terrorist connections and come up with new ways in which information is shared between Interpol members that frankly don't exist now. We have red notices that we use for people who are charged with crimes, but we're going to come up with a new kind of notice that deals with people who are suspected.
Your intelligence is bullshit. It was, you couldn't stop the Twin Tower collapse. You couldn't stop any of those other so-called terrorist attacks on ships and buildings and everything else. You couldn't stop anything like that. The intelligence services of the United States are a joke. A big-ass joke.
Engaging in terrorist activities.
Now we're hearing about another group that the president mentioned for the first time, an organization called Khorasan, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda based in Syria. What can you tell us about this group?
Well, this is a group that has been known...
I can tell you I don't know anything, but I'm going to try to snow you, Katie Couric, because you're throwing me all these softballs, cotton balls.
...to us for 2 years. I've sat in the Situation Room with the president, with the national security team, and we have been closely monitoring the Khorasan group for...
Closely monitoring your ass. You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground.
...for that period of time. We hit them out of a concern that they were in getting close to an execution phase of some of the plans that we have seen them fomenting over the last 2 years. And the hitting that we did, I think, will probably continue until we...
Is that anything like the aspirin factory that Brother Clinton hit? They bombed the shit out of an aspirin factory. So I see on TV pictures of buildings being bombed. How do you know there's anybody even in the buildings? They're probably empty warehouses, you shit for brains.
We're at a stage where we think we have degraded their ability to get at our allies or to the homeland.
What can you tell us about those?
You haven't done anything. If somebody wants to come into this country or Europe or any place else and do some really bad stuff, it's simple. It's simple. It doesn't even have to be explosives. It doesn't have to be guns. There's a million ways of doing it. And the very fact that it's not happened here in the United States lends tends to tell me that they're not even here, or if they're here, they're not doing anything, you know, because they could be doing all, they could shut the power grid down, they could derail trains, they could sabotage factories. I mean, come on. I don't see all that happening, Eric. So you're just trying to scare the shit out of the sheep.
Plans. I understand that they were in the advanced stages of some kind of operation. Can you shed any light on that?
I don't necessarily want to share intelligence with regard to what we know about what they were doing, but
Oh, no, I can't share anything with you, Katie. That's because I don't know a fucking thing. Katie is such a system reporter. She's just as much a part of the system as he is. There's nothing really critical she's asking him at all. She's not going after him like we used to have some reporters in this country who would tear him a new asshole. Not anymore. They're all together.
Can say that the enhanced security measures that we took on the aviation sector some months ago was based on concerns that we had about what the Khorasan group was planning to do.
So when it came to things like cell phones, computers, toothpaste, on overseas flights, that was a direct link to this particular group?
Yeah, I don't want to get too specific, but that...
No, because I don't know shit. I just talk about stuff. They're going to blow up airplanes. They're going to put stuff in... toothpaste, baby talcum powder in the baby's diapers and everything else. Boy, they run for the hills. They're going to get our ass, man. Going to get our ass. Yeah. Where am I at here? I've lost my place.
It was certainly a factor in us raising the threat level, raising the concerns that we had about aviation security. It was linked certainly to the Khorasan group.
So is it safe to assume that they were planning something involving an aircraft?
Yeah.
We don't have any specific credible information about specific plans that they had. On the other hand, the intelligence did lead us to believe that they were in the process.
And we have drafted the Red Baron to take care of it, huh? And Snoopy. Yeah.
Of getting very close to the execution phase of general plans that we know that they were interested in.
You can't give us any other information except for to say it was...
Of course I can't give you any other information because I don't know shit. I'm just trying to snow you and all your stupid listeners.
General plans?
Well,
and if in fact it was connected to the enhanced security on overseas flights, mm-hmm. One can only assume that the planning involves some kind of aircraft terrorism.
Well, I don't want to go any further than I have.
I can't go any further because I don't know a fucking thing.
I can say that we have been monitoring them, as I said, for 2 years. We have been examining what it is they have been trying to do, planning.
Look, if they wanted to, they could put a block of C4 in your underwear. Eric, they could put a block of C4 in your pajamas.
To do. And when we decided that they were at a point where they were in the process of getting to the what I would call the execution phase, we decided to take military action against them.
Why are you so certain that their ability has been significantly degraded as a result of these airstrikes? Because that's pretty hard to ascertain.
Yeah, well, we're certainly going to have to look at the impact of the strikes that were taken. I also assume...
These strikes didn't change anything, you dumbass. They gave them plenty of notice. They went underground in basements all over the place and everything else. You barely touched these guys.
But those are not the only strikes that we'll be taking against the Khorasan group or the other strikes that we took in Syria. It'll take a prolonged...
They've shown that one building being blown up 50,000 times. Nobody's asked, well, what was in the building? The entire Islamic State was in there. A million troops were inside that building, and we got them.
...period of time for these strikes, and then ultimately for the ground troops that will have to come in and deal with these people.
And your estimation is this?
Well, I got an idea, Eric. Now that you're out of a job, why don't you go and deal with these people? Put on your AK-47 and get your jungle knife and get your few grenades and put the knife in your teeth and go right on in there and kick their ass, Eric.
Khorasan organization a more credible threat to the United States than ISIS at this point in time?
I'm not sure that I would want to...
Wait a minute. It's not a threat to the United States. It's a threat to the corporations that have enslaved the United States. Get that straight. It's not that they're coming after the United States or the general public. They're a threat to the corporations and their profits. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Characterize one as being more of greater concern than the other. But Khorasan has certainly shown itself to be capable. I mean, these are people connected to Al-Qaeda, the Al-Nusra Front. These people came from Pakistan, have established a safe haven for themselves. They have bomb makers. They have great capabilities. We take them very...
But Eric, this is their part of the world. It's not our part of the world at all. If they've got problems with each other, so what? Let them fight it out. But that's their world, not our world.
Seriously, and as I said, that is the reason why we decide to strike them militarily.
When it comes to ISIS and other...
No, you struck them militarily for a political reason. Obama had to do something. Even if he didn't want to do it, he had to do something. Hey, you're way down in the polls, Obama. What are we going to do? Oh, let's go bomb a building.
Extremists. Many of these people are being recruited online. Is there anything that can be done to thwart?
Yeah, I recruited 50,000 of them the other day online. I'm keeping them on my... I've got a little storage shed out here and keeping them here and getting ready to do the Islamic State boogie.
This dangerous and highly effective use of social media.
That's something that I think we really have to focus on. It is the thing that keeps me up at night. The notion that you have individuals in...
You're a bullshitter. You don't stay up at night unless you're drinking or screwing some other guy's wife.
The United States who are looking at computer screens and who are becoming radicalized. We announced a program just last week where we're going to work with people in Boston, in Minneapolis, and in Los Angeles, work with those communities so that we can come up with ways in which we stop this radicalization process, figure out what are the causes for this radicalization process. But
it's easy. They hate their government. They hate you. They hate Obama. They hate the Republicans. They hate everybody. I think most of us do. You're going to try to get these sheep to come together to figure this stuff out and stop these terrorists from gaining any kind of footing in the United States? Good luck. Good luck.
Something that is a very, very big concern. We see now that, you know, you can have an impact on the United States, not simply by knocking down buildings, but by, if you look at what happened at the marathon, two people, and what happened at the Boston Marathon, that can have a really negative impact on our society.
You're talking about working within communities, but social media, I mean, transcends all geographic boundaries.
Right. But the question is, what is it that draws people to social media? Who are these people who get affected by social media? And so we want to identify who those people are, what the risk...
They hate the system. That's what draws them. They hate the system. They hate you. They hate Obama. They hate the Republicans. They hate the corporations. They hate the people who are putting all this coal stuff in the air and screwing up the atmosphere. They hate the people that are chopping down the trees. They hate a whole lot of people. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it.
Risk factors are, and come up, work with community leaders, with law enforcement. Our U.S. attorneys have been really in the forefront of this effort.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that new UAE pilot, a female who leads the strikes on the jihadists. Talk about Hollywood crap. That is a typical Hollywood action out of Washington. We got a girl. You know, that wouldn't make the Islamics mad. No, it won't make them mad to say they're being bombed by a woman. Oh, no, that won't cause them to cut off any more heads. No. Want to bet?
And come up with ways in which we kind of break that link between that which inevitably inevitably exists in social media now and kind of break that link between and having an impact on people who are looking at those.
Having said that, there's nothing really that can be done legally to, you know, keep this stuff off the airwaves or off the Internet.
Well, by God, we'll do it illegally then, Katie.
Well, there is the First Amendment in the United States, and that is certainly something that we cherish. If there are...
Bullshit. Nobody in Washington cherishes the First Amendment. NSA, you're in complete support of the NSA. The funding, big funding, goes to NSA. So how can you say you support the First Amendment, you half-Negro mulatto?
Are American citizens who are engaged in this kind of propaganda that we think materially supports a specific organization. We can bring charges on that basis. But we have to be mindful of the constitutional restrictions that we have to follow.
When it comes to terrorism, the families of individuals who died on 9/11...
You might have heard a little glitch there, and some of a bitch, a nigger, took a swing at me. I had to deck him. I think they stopped the filming, and now they're back up there getting ready to talk again. Let's hear what he's got to say, if he can still talk through his broken teeth.
To justice, all these years later, what is taking so long?
Well, I got to say, you know, this is what I would have predicted when in 2010 I said that they needed to be tried right here in New York and in sight of where the World Trade Center towers stood. There were political pressures brought to bear that made me ultimately reverse that decision. We had today an announcement of the sentencing of Abu Ghaith to a lifetime,
what a guy.
Lifetime sentence in prison, the highest ranking member of Al-Qaeda to date.
And that happened in a Manhattan courtroom.
In a Manhattan courtroom. We have tried hundreds of these cases in Article III courts all around this country, and especially here in the Southern District of New York, here in Manhattan. I will say...
Why didn't you cut their heads off way back then? If you'd have done that, you might not have these problems today, man. Just everybody, cut a head off for Mama.
If my recommendation...
Or cut a head off for Jesus.
...had been followed...
you know... Christians used to do that stuff all through the Old Testament. The Jews, they cut people's heads off and hung them on crosses and hung them on the Stars of David and everything else. What the hell's the difference?
Sheikh Mohammed and his confederates would be on death row right now. Right now. But it was a political decision, political opposition to what was a law enforcement decision that prevented us from doing that which we were showing ourselves to be very capable of.
Any way to speed along the process, though, at Gitmo?
You know, they are dealing with some unique problems.
Oh, I can't take this anymore. It's got another 15, 20 minutes of this bullshit. I'm getting out of here. Now, this is a soundtrack from a cop shooting an innocent white guy in the driveway of a fast food place. Now, listen carefully to this.
Have your license, please. Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!
I just got my license. You can't get my license. I've got my license right here. That's my license right there.
Put your hands behind your back. 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 Put your hands behind your back.
What did I do, son?
Are you hit?
I think so. I can't feel my leg. I don't know what happened. I just feel my leg.
Brakes on 8669 at 1052.
Why did you shoot me?
Well, you dove head first back into your car.
I'm sorry.
Then you jump back out. I'm telling you to get out of your car.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear two words. Ah.
Hold on a sec.
My leg is right here in the car. I didn't hear one.
Bridge on 866. Shot fired on 1038. I need 1052 out here. Broad River, out the Death Shell Station near Penny River.
Do you see belt violation, sir?
Steve, I just pulled it off right there at the corner to pull in the gas station.
Well, I got help come to you, okay? I got help come to you.
This goddamn cop who's white shot a guy over what he calls a seatbelt problem. I mean, come on, give me a break. The guy went to lean back in his car, and a cop comes up on him and fired about four shots into him. He may be paralyzed. And then people say, oh, Tom, you're too hard on the cops. You're too hard on the cops. You can't be so hard on the cops. There are a lot of them cops that are our friends. Well... Oh boy, this was a lot more blatant than the Ferguson, Missouri deal, I'll tell you that. So the cop shoots him for a seatbelt offense, alleged. And the trooper, who was fired last week, has now been charged with assault. Assault? Attempted kill. He shot at him four times. I don't know how many times he reached him, how many times he got him. I hope that guy sues that damn city or state or county for everything they've got. The 31-year-old former trooper is charged with assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature. I would say attempted murder, a felony that carries up to 20 years in prison. He was released after paying 10% of the $75,000 bond. Wow. Here's another one. Police in Ferguson, Missouri have violated their own reporting standards since last month's controversial fatal shooting of Michael Brown by Officer Darren Wilson. Ferguson Police Department protocol requires that a use of force report be submitted after all such incidents, lethal, non-lethal, and even when barehanded physical force is used. A written directive signed by Chief Thomas Jackson in 2010 states, quote, early and accurate reporting helps establish agency credibility, unquote. But there is no use of force report for the August 9th shooting, death of Brown, an unarmed 18-year-old. Well, I don't know, boys. It's pretty hard to be a support your local police guy. Well, surprise, surprise, here's another one. This black gal that got beaten half to death by this highway patrolman, and I got the picture right on the screen. He got her on the ground, and he is beating the shit out of her. She got a $1.5 million reward off of that, or not reward, but compensation. Well, this is what the system's got to learn. Pretty soon, either in the courts or whatever, the people are going to rise up. And this is great. This works. You think I'm hard-hearted? On some things, I am hard-hearted. The only way the white people are going to, white working class are going to learn is by getting beaten and everything like this black woman was. Because they beat white working class people all the time and it never gets into the news. Yeah, a lot of people say, well, it's okay, the cop's beating on a nigger. Well, no, it ain't all right, because the same cop will beat on white people, white working class. Some guy coming home in the evening, have a couple of beers, and get pulled off, and all of a sudden he's being beaten half to death. So, no, this is all good. Worse is better. Tell all those right-wing guys that say they're racist, racial separatists, will get into worse is better game. That's the only game in town. Come on, system, bring it down to where the people have nothing else to do but rise up and rip your hearts out.
Rebecca, now some breaking news involving the woman captured on camera being punched by a CHP officer near the 10 freeway in the mid-city area of Los Angeles. The attorney for the victim, Marlene Pinnock, has confirmed to KTLA that her client has reached a settlement of $1.5 million with the department and that the officer has agreed to resign. The attorney says they wanted to make sure Pinnock, who is 51 years old, has financial stability for the rest of her life and that the officer would no longer be with the department. The beating of the July 1st incident was captured by a passing driver and ignited a firestorm locally and across the nation.
Now, the unfortunate part about it is when it happens to white people, they usually don't get any kind of compensation that much. Because they make a big deal, and the white race goes along with all the poor Negro. So the white people that get beaten after death or even killed by these cops rarely get a big settlement like that. Yeah, they say, oh, we'll give you a I'm sorry, get out of jail ticket. Sorry. And the cop usually doesn't lose his job either. Well, maybe since they are spending so much time bombing the shit out of the Arabs, Islamics, and with unintended circumstances, I think they're intended. maybe there won't be so many Americans beat up by cops and Homeland Security people. They're all over there beating up on the Islamic people. Well, here we go. Back to Ferguson, Missouri again.
We don't get it, Jesus!
Unrest has renewed in Ferguson. A fire that destroyed a memorial honoring a black teenager killed by a police officer last month reignited fresh anger on Tuesday. About 200 protesters faced off with police overnight, leaving two officers injured. Missouri Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson said the unrest escalated just after midnight.
Unpeaceful individuals began to flash lights in the eyes of law enforcement, began to shout threatening remarks as they continued through the night about shooting police, burning down the town.
Officials said the Beauty Town store on West Florissant Avenue was looted and vandalized. The mostly black community has seen weeks of racially charged protests since the death of teenager Michael Brown. The past 3 weeks had been mostly peaceful until Tuesday.
We cannot have nights like last night. We can't have actions like last night that can result in injury or death. Those will not be tolerated.
You cannot intimidate.
Authorities are asking peaceful protesters to stand up against agitators and prevent further chaos.
Don't shoot!
It's really amusing how they put these black people up front.
Look at me, son.
They elevate these blacks up into a high position as state patrol and so forth. And then when they make an announcement, they think they're placating the blacks by putting these guys up there. And they've got all these out of shape, fat, pussified cops behind them, sort of looking down at the ground. And they let the black guy put the word out. They look so cowardly, these people do, you know. If any sizable amount of people rise up against them, they're toast. They better get their tanks and bazookas. See the rumors being spread that the Islamic State is getting ready to attack U.S. and Paris subways. Yeah, they're going to get them. I say there's not a dime's worth of evidence to prove that. There is plenty of evidence that they're trying to scare everybody. Oh my God, run for your life, they're coming. They're coming in on canoes. And now the U.S. officials say, and Obama and all these guys say, they're not aware of any terror plot to attack the subways in Paris or the United States. It must be another of our filthy rumors that we're not going to admit to. Well, here's our stinky poo story for today. Nashville. Four Memphis police officers, law enforcement officers, have been suspended with pay for tipping over a portable toilet where a suspect had tried to take a poop and hide after the video on September 19 arrest circulated widely on the social media. The Commercial Appeal newspaper reported on Thursday. The video showed the officers closing in on the portable potty at a construction site where the suspect had fled. The officers tipped the portable toilet over and then put it upright again. Shook it up like malted milk. The police kicked the subject and handcuffed him after he came out of the potty, the video showed. The Commercial Appeal said the man in the toilet was Joseph Hampton, and they had run away from police who had responded to a call from an apartment where he was unwanted. Hampton was arrested on trespassing and evading arrest charges and released on $250 bond, according to the local media. The Memphis Police Public Information Office did not respond to our calls or email requests. Well, they didn't keep him in the jail very long because he stunk like hell. He was covered with caca or poo-poo. Well, let's see how corporate America engineered an epidemic. Yeah. I won't run that again. That's that one by Edward Bernays and how he promoted smoking with the suffragettes to show how liberated they were. Yeah, right. Go from a disrespecting husband to lung cancer. Some choice. You know, I think I sent to you yesterday this list of these high rollers that are given so much and they're controlling politics. And a whole bunch of them were gambling casinos, $20 million, $40 million, $70 million. I knew most of those Indian tribe gambling casinos because they're in Southern California in San Diego County. And I'd been in three or four of them, even though I don't gamble. Or if I did gamble, it would only be about 20 bucks, and that's about it. But these places are representing a very small number of Indians. These so-called tribes are very small, maybe under 100 in some cases. But they're turning the reins of running these places over to Las Vegas Jews is what they're doing. But they're buying politicians left and right. And as you see by that information I sent you yesterday, I mean, many, many, many millions are going into whichever corrupt political representative they can find. And of course, that kind of money is going to corrupt almost everybody. Now, they claim that when they got gambling going there in California, it was going to go for the schools. Well, the schools get almost like 5% or less of that money. So it was all a scam to get the people to vote for it. You know, I can go on the web and find hundreds and hundreds of stories about people who are going to fight racism. They're going to have a parade or they're going to have a bake sale. They're going to do this and that. And they're fools. They're never going to defeat racism. Are you kidding? It's a biological and natural thing. And get used to it, boys out there. But it takes up a lot of their time when they could be doing something far more important. Yeah, they're out there saying, whoa, we're going to parade against racism. And we got this speaker coming in. And Morris Deese is going to tell us all about it. They're not going to do anything about racism. If racism wants to exist, it will exist. If it decides it doesn't want to, maybe not. But I get a kick out of all these people that are marching and baking cookies and everything else to fight racism. I haven't seen any come around here. Come on down, baby. Well, that's it for today in this wacky, wacky, crazy world. Oh, I think I'm going to sit down and have me a cocktail and watch Russia TV. Okay, here we go, 14:05, and shut up. Just remember, boys and girls, racism can be fun. It can bring light and humor into your life. And that's what we try to do here. We don't sit around like an uptight, wrap-too-tight Hollywood Nazi down in the basement of his mother's house, fuming away for the Third Reich to come back. No, we don't do that. We have lots of fun. We get information from the left, the right, the middle. Who knows? It comes from everywhere. If we want to have fun with it, we have fun with it. All you reactionaries that don't like that stuff, well, you just stick with those chat boards over there at the right wing. They'll make you happy.